Blog Talk Radio.
Wow.
Y'all understand me when y'all saying my name?
Get ready. It's time for your weekly dose of unembellished banter. 1.5 hour of music, politics, and news. Real, raw, intoxicating. This show is definitely not for the weak. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Now, here's Valerie.
All right, guys. Welcome. It's Tuesday. I am having one hell of a day. I pray the same for you. I hope you are preparing for an excellent week, because it is going to be exactly that. We had a tumultuous week last week with all that Jay-Z stuff in the news, kind of divided us. We were pro-Jay-Z, anti-Jay-Z, and all of that. But thank God, Friday, we cleared it all up. Thanks to the Judge Jerome, the one and only Judge Jerome. We had a whole bunch of people in the house, a whole bunch of humanitarians and activists and professionals, and we cleared it up. So, guys, we're back to normal. Amen. Let the whole church say amen. All right, so you are listening to Big Exclusives. I am Valerie Denise Jones, 929-477-1167, 929-477-1167. Make sure you share that number with a friend who will tell a friend, because we're here every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always have great guests and great conversations, so when you are tuned in to us and you've already contacted your friends, make sure you have non-alcoholic libations in front of you, plus pen and paper, because you're definitely going to take a lot of notes. Big shout out to everybody in the chat room, all of our social media friends, and yes, we do encourage you to please comment, tweet, share your thoughts during the live episode, because that's the way we get the message out. Again, do it not only after the show, but during the show. We've been stressing that a lot. We want to continue to stress that. Yes, big shout out to you, my partner in crime, Philo the Great, holding me down because he speaks hip-hop, and I don't always, but we got a great guest for you today. I'm about to play a song to refresh your memory. Yes, man. I think that the title of the song kind of says it all. He says, I pioneered this, and I kind of think he probably meant I pioneered this-ish. Because he's just that kind of guy. But, y'all, the comment section was a lot of fun because I read some wonderful things about him. But I will let Philo go into his backstory and then let him go further down the rabbit hole. But the comment section said wonderful things like, Shan went hard on this joint from the first verse. The beat is hard and Shan is nice. The rap is straight fire. Don't sleep on Shan. And last but not least, this is one hell of a beat. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. That's my favorite, absolute favorite, and I totally agree. But we're going to find out if there's been any updates, because those comments are a few weeks old. So, hey, you never know. Hall of Fame, star on the Walk of Fame, all those great things, it can happen. Definitely that. All right, guys, I am about to play a little cut for you. When we come back, we're going to bring in Philo the Great and then our guest.
I'm the real thing and not a pretend.
put him to Betty Bob.
You think to exist, I'll be your pitfall. You think this is harsh? That ain't shit, y'all. Placing the ground in wood as encasement. Those that bluff got stuffed in the basement. Most of the time, myself, I'm kept to an arcane. The rep that you scared to step to. Don't assume I leave no room to evade. Getting out that I doubt, so prepare to be slaves. You're neither here nor there. I'm number uno priority. Rhyme with such new groove shows my authority. Shantae, me, Dizzy, and Kane are her protege. Taking out Rush, you know why? We know the way. We're down with the juice, don't you think that's virtue? There to make fun of us, and one of us will hurt you. Whoever's the closest, I mean, that's the nearest will. Remove so many rappers, you'll be calling us Clearasil. I feel free now that I clear this. How could I fell off? Boy, I helped pioneer this.
All right, guys, we are back. We're back. You are listening to Big Exclusives with NS. I'm Valerie Denise Jones, 929-477-1167. You will find me at Miss MS Valerie Denise Jones.com. All my social media links are there, so there is no need for me to go through that. At this time, what I would love, absolutely love to do is welcome my partner in crime, Philo the Great.
Thank you. Yes, what's up? What's going on? How are you today?
I'm good. Blessed, always blessed every time God wakes me up. Hallelujah.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm excited as well. You know what I'm talking about? I'm excited as well, man, to be here and to be talking to, I guess, you know what I'm talking about? MC Shan. You heard that
mm-hmm.
he helped pioneer this. So I would say that is a true statement, especially when it comes to what we call beef or battle rap. Whatever, MC Shan did help pioneer not only hip hop, but what we know to be called as battle rap or so called beef in hip hop. So I want to get into that, man, because that is something that will, in my opinion, forever cement MC Shan's legacy with. Himself, KRS-One, Juice Crew, BDP. That is it's a legacy, hip hop legacy. So me being from the South, I get a chance to talk to the man physically about some of the questions I have doing my research. You know, I get to hear from him. So I'm excited. So you want to just welcome in, I guess, so we can go ahead and get this started, because I'm very, very excited to have MC Shan here, because I know he's well-spoken.
And always on Instagram. Welcome, welcome, the man of the hour, MC Shan.
Yes, you know I'm always on Instagram. But you see the difference in the songs nowadays? And the difference in the songs back then, you see it took 9 minutes for to get through that record, which
mm-hmm.
means you had to have a little bit more lyrical skill in order to
mm-hmm.
do three verses of 16, opposed to having all of these, what do you call, features on your song. You had to work a little
mm-hmm.
bit harder back then in order to, you know, nowadays you can put 16 and, oh, yo, I need 16 from you and 16 from you. What's the matter? You can't hold down the whole thing by yourself, buddy? What's wrong?
Right.
But
well,
see,
well,
and but wait a minute, CeeLo. Look, this is how I go. I wasn't a pioneer in battle rapping. Battle rap was what it was when it was a gladiator sport. That's what we did as hip hoppers back in the days. That I pioneered this was more like. I helped bring this rhymes to the forefront and change the game a little bit, because before me, like I said today on Instagram, before me, everybody was yelling, rock the bells and rah, you know? And then when I came up with Molly Scratch, you can see how smooth I rhyme on Pioneer Disc. I changed the way that artists portray themselves as far as their lyrical content. And I want my credit for it.
Well, you know, that's why we have shows like this, MC Shane. And like I say, I welcome you, and it is Philo the Great here, man, interviewing you. Right. So check this out, man. Like you said, you want your credit for pioneering is basically saying that I was one of the first ones, if not the first one, to bring actual lyrics to the game.
No,
is that
I'm
what
not
I'm hearing?
Saying that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the smooth style. Before me, you remember how Mel and everybody from Tila Rock, I need a beat. Everybody thought that they had to yell on the mic to get their message across. I didn't know what I was doing when I did Molly Scratch. It was just that I came differently, and the people accepted it for what it was. My voice was different. My cadence was different. I just made it cool for brothers like Rakim and Big Daddy Kane to do what they do.
Right.
I changed the way you know what I mean? That's what I was saying. First thing. A lot of the uptown guys and Bronx dudes like claiming I was first this, I was first that. Who cares? What you doing now?
Right.
Is what makes the difference.
Okay, so to reiterate, so we don't put the first on it or anything, what you're saying is MC Shan pioneered that smooth delivery, right? Being able to be understood, slowing it down where every word is articulated, and then it opened the doors for folks like Mo D, Big Daddy Kane, who came behind with that smooth delivery, who's classified as the smooth style to the point where Big Daddy Kane, I believe, got the title of the smooth operator. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I can feel that, man. And so I appreciate, you know, I always like to get clarification. That's why it's good to hear from the man himself so we can break it down like this so it won't be no misunderstandings with our philosophers and our loved ones out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I want to get into, MC Shan. Marley Marl, right?
Yes,
I'm from the South. All right, I'm from the South. And I didn't watch several interviews with yourself, several interviews to be exact, Vlad TV. Watched those. I watched the BDP, you know, when y'all did the documentary, so to say, right? So I did some more research, and to my knowledge, it said you got your start trying to steal Marley Marl's car, and Marley Marl is your actual cousin. Is this correct?
No. See, back then it was give a kid a break. You know what I'm saying? Give a kid a break. Mm-hmm. That story, it wasn't Marley Marl's car. It was Tyrone's, supposedly. But it never happened. That was what I was into when I started into this rhyming. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, he kept telling me to come back. And when I came back, I had to have my lyrics and stuff right. You know, but the break was to give me a break from doing all of the dirt that I was doing out in the street. And so that became part of the story. That was cast as give the kid a break. You know what I'm saying? I didn't steal anyone's car. I used to run through, you know, I was too young to steal the cars, but they would steal the cars and leave them on the streets. And me and my boys, well, we knew this window shop on Utica Avenue, car windows. We would go bust the window, not bust them out, but we would go pull the brake line out of our bikes and pop it through the window and burn the car windows out, lay it flat, take the razor, cut the bottom, and take it to the car shop. And as little kids, we didn't know. They gave us $20, $30 for it, not knowing that these windows cost $300 to be installed. So they was just getting windows from us from cars that had already been stolen. But, you know, you can still get in trouble. If you're caught, nine-tenths of the law is you're in possession of it, it's yours. So instead of them trying to have me still out there, still doing what I'm doing, give them a break. Let's see what you got. You know?
Okay.
But it wasn't
okay.
A part of I was stealing Molly's car, but Molly's my cousin, and sometimes stories, after a while, you let people tell them, they make their own renditions of it.
Right. Correct. And that's why I'm glad you're here. So, Molly is your cousin. You get in the game. You drop one of the biggest songs that we know you for, is The Bridge, right? And
yes, sir.
All right, so with The Bridge, Juice Crew, Queens, all right, representing, holding it down. You drop that, you got fame, you holding it down, man, doing your thing, I must say. At that time, you all were hot. And so you got a guy by the name of, we know him now, you know what I'm saying, as KRS-One. I heard you refer to him as Chris, you know what I'm saying, on several interviews, but KRS-One, Boogie Down Productions, Boogie Down Watch Productions. Okay, so he is not in the game at this moment. According to my research, it was a radio personality such as, I believe his name was DJ Magic.
Super Rocket Mr. Magic. That's one name.
Mm-hmm.
That's one name that should never be messed up. Super Rocket Mr. Magic. He's the reason why all of us that do this hip hop right now have a job in hip hop. When the radio stations were saying, "Well, Magic, we'll give you a regular daytime slot, but you can't play that hip hop." His dream was to play hip hop. So what he did was he told those major stations, "I don't want your job. I'm going to go over here to WHBI and do what I do." And we all in this hip-hop game owe everything that we have to Mr. Magic. Anything that we can bless him for it. The way that you go ahead and you thank God for something, you can thank Mr. Magic just as much. Not as big for some of you Christians or however you do it. I'm not a Christian. I don't believe in anything. I believe in spirituality. But Mr. Magic should be listed as the reason why things happen the way they happen
okay.
for hip-hop.
And shouts out to Mr. Magic as well. Now,
Mr. Magic has passed away, so you rest in peace, my brother.
Right. May you rest in heaven. So, Mr. Magic, man, was known as a guy who
I can complete the story for you before you want to
cut you out.
Here's how it works.
You know what I'm saying?
That's where I got my persona from. That was my partner in crime. But anyway, Magic had Chris and them bring their record up to Magic's radio station. And Magic, if he didn't like your song, he was going to diss it and diss it. But as
mm-hmm.
Chris being an MC, being in the game of hip hop, you couldn't diss the radio man, he don't rhyme. He's not going to make a record back at you. But you can diss one of his people, which was me, Shante or whatever. And you know that was the game of hip-hop. Nobody was ever mad at Chris for making the record that he made because that's what hip-hop was. And Chris took
mm-hmm.
full advantage of the game of hip-hop. He figured his way, all right, you don't want to play this song of mine, but guess what? Your man got one of the hottest records out right now, and this one I'm going to do for him. The bridge is over. The bridge is over. He did what he had to do, and he took it and ran with it and became a success. But one thing I must say, me and Chris have never battled face-to-face on stage anytime ever. So when you hear them say, oh, KRS-One took MC Shan out, in the game of
mm-hmm.
hip-hop, it's not about the new way they say, oh, you sold more records. We didn't live by that rule back then. You got took out on stage, and that was it. You were finished. It was over. But me and him never had a battle. The closest thing me and him had a battle on was the Sprite commercial. And we both got checks for that, so we didn't care. Ha ha.
Right. Mm. Now, I have heard KRS-One say out his own mouth that if it wasn't for you responding, we kill that noise, because you did do a response album, kill that noise after the bridge is over. So the kill that noise when that came out, you responded, And KRS-One said out his own mouth, if it wasn't for your response, he wouldn't even have a career. Do you agree with that?
I wouldn't agree with that. He might have came up with something else. And I can't. Chris is a talented man. I can't say that his next record wouldn't have did whatever. You can't say that. He might feel it in his heart that, but that's the way hip hop was. If I didn't respond, cool. But then when it came time for me to make another record after The Bridge Is Over, South Bronx, Marley didn't want to do it because he thought that Chris was going to gain more momentum on it. But it just turned out to backfire on me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody knows that,
right?
Marley Marl said, no, we ain't going. They just look at me like, yo, Shan, what happened to you? Yo, you was a battle dude. What happened? You just let him get away with that? No, I didn't. If it was 2019 and I was producing my own song, see, back then you had your producer and that's what you used. Your producer said no, that was it. You don't go to nobody else and do a record. So when Marley said no, that was the end of that. You know what I'm saying? But people would take that as, oh, Chris took you out. You didn't respond. I could say the same thing to LL. I made a record called Beat Biter about LL. He never responded.
Right.
Do you ever hear me saying, oh, I took LL out? No, you never hear me say that because that would not be true in hip hop history. But me and L had a battle up in Syracuse, but it wasn't a face to face battle. I just killed his stage show so bad he didn't get on stage. I always pull L leg about that, and every time I see Cut Creator, we got a joke about that. But it wasn't like I took L out. Come on, L is one of the greatest lyricists that's alive.
Right. I agree. I
love LL so much. It's like, yo, I watched this man's career progress, and I'm not that it means anything, but I'm just so proud to say that I know this man. My mother loved LL. She loved that man. So I couldn't do too much with him. My moms love you, L. I'm not going to keep trying to make records against you. You know what I'm saying? And that's one thing. If my moms loved LL, I had no choice but to love that man.
And that's big upping. That's big upping. So, look, man, on some real stuff, man, Marley Marl being your cousin, bro, DDP, KRS-One making the album. What was your true feelings, man, on Marley Marl going to produce for KRS-One?
Well, Marley did that with everyone that I battled. He produced LL. He produced Chris. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell a man not to make money. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell a man, oh, don't feed his kids. He did what he did. It's no big deal. I'm good friends with Chris, although I talk crap about him. He knows that. Everybody knows my mouth is lethal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they know, oh, here comes Shan. When they see me coming, it's like, oh, here we go. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I'm just me. I'm going to talk crap about Chris. Love him to death. He knows that. And if I'm talking crap about him, it's only to pull his leg. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's one thing I can't respect, man. I have heard you say on several interviews, you all will go kill a stage. But then and behind closed doors, dressing room, so to say, you all just hanging, doing what y'all do the most. Now, I respect that as far as the game because it wasn't no killing. You still living to tell the story. Chris still living to tell the story, KRS-One. And you all have other careers doing other things right now in the present. Now, nowadays, man, you have these artists, these young artists, they have these so-called rap beasts that end up to gunplay, somebody dying, so to say. What do you have to say about that, man, from the time you all, you being a pioneer, you helping pioneer this hip-hop to what you see now as far as the culture of hip-hop and those having disagreements on wax, it's spilling over to other things such as gunplay, such as on site, so to say.
It's the media propelled those things, to propel them situations nowadays. Because the way the media gets their money, they need those clicks. They're going to put something negative, or the media is what propelled that. Because if they don't have any news to put out there, And if they're that type of a magazine or show, if they don't have that, they are not going to get any listeners. So they create the propaganda. They use the Joseph Goebbels, you know what I'm saying, the Nazi propaganda machine to propel garbage. And it makes and it's a shame because we always see black people put each other up against black people. We never see a black man put himself up against a white man, a Chinese man, or any other culture because in the scope of things, what we have is nothing compared to any of those cultures. So with us having that slave mentality of field nigger and house nigger, excuse me for saying it that way, we look at each other and have the evil eye at each other when everybody else is helping each other. You've got the houses with a bunch of Spanish people living together and cooperating together. You can't even cooperate with your own friends in the street as a black man because as soon as you get something, what happens? They want to take it away from you. They don't want to see you have it. You call yourself keeping it real. You get your money and you come back to the hood. You get your money, get out of the hood. Don't go back. Because the simple fact, you're thinking that it's cool. Next thing you know, you go ahead and sleep one time. They're going to rob you because they don't want to see you with what you have. So once you make it out, don't go back. Drive through every blue moon just to show love, but don't go hanging out. Because the next thing going to happen, you're going to get caught up in all of this crap. You see Kodak Black going to jail. For what? You got money. Why are you doing this? Why are you still continuing to try and prove to the hood that you are real N-I-G-G? Why? You just proved that you were real, what you call it, when you just got out the hood. You just proved it. So why go back? You take those with you who have like minds to get ahead, and leave those there that want to stay there.
And speaking on the media, man, I was on your Instagram page, and I seen a post you posted, and I did copy it, and it was entitled, "You Dumb Chicken Eating Motherfuckers." Now, the media, with this Popeye's chicken sandwich, I seen you post that, so I wanted to ask you, in your own words, I can pretty much suspect where you stand on this topic, but I want to hear it out your own mouth, man, and share it with our listeners out there, because this has been such a big, in my opinion, such a big waste of dang time amongst our culture. So I want to know, man, how your true feelings on this chicken sandwich, on that media you speak of.
It's not even just a chicken sandwich. It's just in general. We always jump on other people's causes. We jump on other people's what their protests are. You see anybody jumping on our protests? And why are we talking about chicken anyway? You know what I'm saying? It's like we're not getting any money from none of them. All right? And like I've seen another. I like to make my own memes. I really don't like doing what I did with that guy's stuff, but that reached and touched me. So I reposted. I like to make my own memes. I don't want to copy people's memes. So it's like we're talking about a chicken sandwich, and if you don't get it, I seen a meme today that said, and it's a very true statement, you get Popeyes in the hood and you get Chick-fil-A where other people live. I don't want to sound prejudiced or none of that. But I'm stand up for my own people. You don't find that restaurant in a lot of the hoods. So now you got to look at it. The chicken that they're serving you in these restaurants, like the Kentucky Fried Chicken, that's every 5 feet in the hood. These chickens are being poisoned. They're filling them up with antibiotics that we as human beings don't even need in our bodies to swell these chickens up, and then them toxins are now transferred to our bodies. And we're not looking at it. Like somebody said, in 20 years, you're going to say, oh, if you ate that chicken sandwich, you have mesothelioma. You know, it's a lot of things that we do as black people that just doesn't make sense to me, but it makes sense to a lot of others. It's like, why would I, instead of me hanging around people that are going to bring me down, I'd rather ask questions of somebody who made it. Let me go hang around people who have done something. You keep hanging around the same thing, you're going to get the same results. Change your thought pattern. Change your attitude. Look around you and see what's really going on. You're being priced out of living quarters. Okay? People think, oh, they're coming in the hood and they're redesigning it. You think they're redesigning it for you? No, they're not. They're redesigning it to overprice you out of where you used to live. Now, everybody says about y'all was talking about Jay-Z. Gentrification. Mm-hmm. These people don't even know what the word gentrification is. They started kicking that word around when Jay-Z made it popular to say gentrification. But gentrification, if you knew what that was, that means making your hood better for somebody else. And Jay-Z has done that, because when he helped put that stadium downtown Brooklyn, guess what? They starting to move the blacks out of there. They can't afford the rents, because all of those houses that were subsidized over there, they took and re-renovated them. And when they re-renovated them, now that's $3,000 a month rent. Your rent, you can't pay that. So you have no choice to be in the project. So I really, Jay-Z is making his money. He's a businessman. You know what I'm saying? He's a businessman. Mm-hmm. But in the end of the day, he's the one that gentrified that hood. And y'all want to keep saying, oh, gentrification. You read what the definition is. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Now, he's right about gentrify your hood, but we need somebody with some money to do that. Did he do it? Did any of our people do it? All our billionaire black men, how many jobs have they created? Oh, I know a couple. I know Rick Ross got a couple of restaurants right here. I can see him doing it. I can see what Nas is doing with his restaurants. I can see certain things that people are doing, but is it enough to bring us out of the position that we are in as black people, with them having so much money?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Now, right. But and the thing is, with that so much money, we living in a capitalist system to where the rich get richer, the poor get poor. I see it to where now it's a gap between middle class, to the point the middle class is really getting wiped out. Because we're going to look up, it's going to be rich and poor. So I understand exactly what you're saying. What do you think we can do about that, bro, to the ones listening, to the ones who are listening? What do you think is a solution? Any steps that people can implement that you feel like they can implement?
Get an education. Learn as much as you can on how to be an entrepreneur. Stop sitting looking around for handouts. See, people don't need a handout. They need a hand up. You give them a hand up. You teach a man to fish, he's going to eat forever. If you feed him one time, that's all he's going to eat is that one time. That's the way it should be. Don't just look for the handout to eat this 1 minute. Look for the thing that was, how are you going to show me how to eat forever? That's what I want to do. I don't want to just eat for today. So if you sit back and you look and you say, well, what can I do for myself that somebody who is doing something is going to believe me that I really want this and I really want to learn something? You have to change your attitude. You have to change your way of thinking and stop looking at people the same color as you as a threat. We're not the threat. Matter of fact, we are the threat to our culture ourselves right now. How many? When the last time you heard a white supremacist kill somebody, was that Charlottesville? But we kill each other in the hood every day, but nobody says anything about that. Nobody. It's okay for us to kill ourselves, but when one white man kills one black man, the whole world jumps up in arms and it's Instagram posted and it's this and it's that and it's this. But we don't talk about how we kill each other every day. So that's where the problem is. That's where the problem is. We don't talk about what we do to each other. It's okay for us to do that, but everybody else can kill us and get away with it.
And speaking on that, man, that chicken sandwich did just that, the media. People were fighting each other, black people fighting each other, making us look very, very terrible. And a lot of people was like, they fighting over the chicken sandwich. And come on, y'all. And I want to say, man, ain't nobody fighting over no chicken sandwich. I don't care who that is. But what happens is when get people down there, hold on, Sam. Let me make my point quick. When you get people down there, being in that type of environment, somebody says something smart. Somebody says something to where now it becomes disrespect. And then you get the fighting and all that. But it's not really over chicken sandwich, but that chicken sandwich did create that, so to say, that hostile environment.
Atmosphere.
So to say. Right. Correct. Correct. So go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
See, but now we got to look at what was the disrespect. You skipped me in line. You want to have, and then they got the jokes that says if you would have made a watermelon drink, then you really would have had a whole fiasco on your hands. You got a chicken sandwich and a watermelon drink. That's a black joke. That's a joke against black people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, come on, we can't keep feeding into this. And like I say about the media, the people who really own the media are those that sit up there in that top office on the top floor of that skyscraper that never come down to be amongst you and yours. They don't care. They're getting money. Like they said, they made $20 million off that chicken sandwich. How? Because people went out and bought it because of something new. Like the guy on that meme says, what, you don't know nobody in the hood with a good chicken sandwich? But when we do get businesses as black people, we kind of slack. And we say, you should be shopping with us. Well, step your customer care up. Maybe people will shop with you. Stop having that negative attitude. Not negative, that negative attitude.
I agree with that. But check it out. And to me, Shan, and tell me if you agree with this. To me, in my opinion, it's not the fact that they need to step their customer service up. It's the fact they need to maintain their level of customer service or step it up. Maintain. A lot of what I see is when you get a black business starting out, they start out very, very on fire. They start out very doing things the right way, procedural,
and then
everything
get complacent.
Is fire. And then get very complacent when they move up from the house, so to say, to a building. And then when they move into that building and they see their business working for them, then you find that the customer service decreases with them moving up. So my thing is, why is it that level of customer service doesn't go with the improvement, with the evolution of the business? And a lot of times,
because
black businesses lose business as they get bigger.
That's because you got to look at that person's level of success. Some might think that, oh, I've made it, and they just feel that that's the level they want to be on. They don't want to success is a continuous journey. You don't never get there and stay there. You got to always keep on doing what you've been doing in order to stay successful. You might get to that point and say, well, I succeeded. I moved to another building. And then you get complacent with it. I succeeded. I got more than the next black man got. And then I heard a lot of thing about, oh, they say, well, most of the chicken restaurants in Atlanta are owned by black men like Hank Aaron. Okay, but he's part of a franchise. He doesn't own the corporation. He doesn't own the corporation that makes the majority of the money. He's the one putting that poison chicken in my neighborhood as a black man. So why should I follow behind Hank Aaron? I'm not with that. I understand that he's a great baseball great and all of that, but I look at it like you're putting the poison chicken here. You're the one that looks, I mean, the chicken in the restaurant, you can look at that and compare it to the chicken that's in the Chinese restaurant. You can't tell what it is. You don't know what it is. You got a big, fat piece of leg. You don't know what kind of chicken is this. That look like a turkey leg. You know what I'm saying? The steroids, the antibiotics, the things that they're doing to kill us in our hood is just incredible. You have to watch that show called, what the heck is it? It was on Netflix. What the health? What the whatever? You know what I'm saying? Where they show you what they're doing to this meat and how they're pumping things into it to buff it up when they put it in the supermarket. How when it's a little bit stale, they take it in the back and rub it in the red what you call it. So whenever you go to when you go to the supermarket and you look in your meat section, and underneath the meat, there's this red carpet that lays down there, right? That red reflects up off of the white bottom of the shelf and reflects back down onto the meat, which gives it that healthy-looking color. So now you're buying 8-day-old meat only because the light has been refracted on the shelf above it to make it look like it's proper. If you take one of them chickens out and hold it up, you go buy yourself a whole chicken. And you hold it up and it look like it's a muscle-bound chicken. Like, yo, this chicken been lifting weights, my man. You got to think to yourself. What are you eating? What are you eating?
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's real talk. That's real talk. So speaking of eating habits, man, you bringing this up, you educating. What are your eating habits like? Are you a vegan? Are you a vegetarian?
No, I'm not a vegan, but I rarely eat. That's my thing. I eat to sustain life. I've always been that way. I'm not a big eater. I'm really skinny. And I don't like food like that. I like food just to keep me alive. I don't sit there, and salivate over a steak. No, I eat it because basically that's what I like to eat. I like to eat my steak, but I like to cook it really well to try and get rid of all of the pathogens and whatever they're trying to put in me. I can't escape it unless I went vegan, but then they're making plastic vegetables. They're making vegetables out of something. You can put a piece of lettuce in water, boil it, and it will not wilt. How can you put a piece of lettuce in a boiling pot of water and it does not wilt or change forms at all? When you can go outside of your house and pick a leaf off the tree and put it in that same hot water and it will deteriorate, shrivel up, and all of that. So what are we eating here? What are we really eating? Nobody knows. So you're taking your chances. It's like you're playing Russian roulette when you go to the supermarket. Everybody wants the instant, put the rice in the microwave. What happened to cooking it?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what they're doing to keep that rice fresh in that pack. If you read the label, you don't even know what half of these things are in there just to keep it preserved. But yet that rice could sit on that shelf for 9 months. And still, they'll sell it to you. And 9 months later, it's supposedly still as fresh as it was the day that they packaged it. How?
Well, you know how. The shit that they putting in it. You know, and it ain't healthy. Come on. We know how.
But a lot of people don't
appreciate. Go ahead. A lot of people don't want.
A lot of people don't look at it like that. They just go ahead and, you know, they don't want to know what the truth is, you know, because sometimes the truth hurts. You'd rather believe the lie before you believe the truth.
Well, and the truth causes you to be more responsible and kill the excuses. Once you know better, then if you choose not to do better, now you're making an excuse. You're not ignorant anymore. You become stupid at that point. So, you know.
Excuse me for laughing so hard. Oh, that's crazy. A stupid is one level down from ignorant.
And the only reason you get that pass is because it hasn't been introduced to you. So we can't blame you for something that never was introduced to you. But once it has been introduced to you and, you know, you have knowledge of and you choose not to use, then, hey, it doesn't become ignorance anymore. It becomes stupidity.
Okay, but
so,
now
hey. You
got to figure that we don't hardly read books. All right, so when it was time for you to read a book, you don't go to the library and you don't go study up on it or whatever. But now, in this day and age, information is at your fingertips. Every bit of information that you would like to know is at your fingertips on your Google, and everybody wants to Google. I know everybody's on their phone because I see you on Instagram. So you have all the knowledge at your fingertips, but yet you don't choose to utilize it. It's not my fault. I'm going to utilize the information that I have around me in order to build my life and put certain things into perspective. And because the next man doesn't do it, I try and use my Instagram to give knowledge or just try and say something that might spark a conversation that where we can get into dialogue that is going to be useful to a lot of people. But then you're going to have those that's going to say, you're a sucker, Shan. You don't know what you're talking about. How you don't know I don't know what I'm talking about when you've never even looked up what I'm talking about? So you're stupid.
Right.
You're not ignorant.
Right.
You're stupid.
Mm-hmm. Man, you mentioned not too long ago in the interview, you mentioned success is a continual thing. I do agree with that. So being that success is a continual thing, what is MC Shan doing in 2019? What are you doing in the present to increase on your legacy? You know, let our people know.
I'm just sitting back relaxing for a minute until I get this money that I can start investing into new ventures, because hip-hop is a cool thing, but I'm really not with hip-hop anymore. I'm not trying to get beat. I'm not trying to be the old-school artist that they offer change to come sing your whole catalog. So I quit doing hip-hop for the simple fact I've got a brand-new million-dollar check or a couple of million dollars coming to me that I'm going to invest mm-hmm. into something else, and I'm going to start a brand-new venture. I'm going to start a brand-new chapter of my life doing something else instead of just sitting here thinking about and conversating back and forth on the internet about who did this in hip-hop, that. That's not getting us anywhere. We're the only ones, like I said, to pin each other's artists up against each other. The other day I looked at a post and it said, who's better, MC Shan or Raw Bass? And I had to mm-hmm. chime in on that and say, how come it has to be either one of us are better? How come it can't be that we're both great and we hold our own lane in this business as our own characters and did what we did as individuals? Why do I have to be pinned up against my friend? Rob Bass is my friend. So now if I was an ignorant person, right, I would start looking mm-hmm. at Rob Bass like, oh, they trying to – I'd start beefing with him because of what somebody else said.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And listen,
that to me boils down to, man, the neighborhood, man, neighborhood mentality. A lot of people don't know. If you grow up, that's why hip-hop is hip-hop, because it started on the street, neighborhood mentality. So I say that to say this. What you just said about chiming in about the best, you from Queens. Now, we know Nas. Nas came up under y'all. You know what I'm saying? Nas is a product of the Juice Crew, all right, from Queens. And during that Ether response, when Nas dropped Ether, he say, who's the best? Prognize a big. Ain't no best. East, west, no, what did he say? East, west, north, south, flow, stop. All right? And so he's from Queens. And for him to put that in a lyric and to hear you respond like that, man, me being who I am, being a hood dude, man, that's just a hood mentality, man. And you got to big up Queens, man, to really embrace their brother, to really embrace, nigga, ain't no best. We shine together. And that's one of these things, man. Stop trying to pin us against each other, man. And for you to stand up and respond on that still now, man, because now you got it where it's called clout chasing. You know what I'm saying? Back then it was called pirate ship jumping or whatever you want to call it, dick riding, whatever you want to call it. It all means the damn same thing, man. And you still got
right.
the media playing us against us. A lot of us fall into it. Why? Because we think our life gonna change from downing your brother, thinking that they really going to have your back, and really all they doing is using you to spit you out. And when they spit you out, a lot of y'all don't recover, and you never get back to that life you had. That's how you end up with a criminal record long as a scroll sheet, because they give you a taste of some fame, a taste of some money. You didn't get it yourself authentically, and when you reach that broke, that rock bottom situation, you'll do anything to get back, and that's selling your soul for that dollar, that piece of fame, man. So 100.
See,
Shane, what you
but
got
what
to
us
say, bro?
Black people, look, for what us black people to understand, you don't have to have a list, a long rap sheet. All you have to do is have one felony, just one, and you're locked
mm-hmm.
out of a lot of things. You can't go get an apartment. You can't get a job. And then when you're on probation, they want you to get a job. Well, how the hell am I going to get a job when I'm on probation? I just got out of jail. You know they don't hire felons. Okay, well, if you don't get a job, we're going to lock your black ass back up. So you're set up in a system that's fucked in the first place, okay? Here I am, a rap
mm-hmm.
artist, right? I've got a
mm-hmm.
felony. I just caught it 5 years ago, okay? So now here I am. I'm sitting back looking like, yo, I'm getting ready to get this money. I say, yo, if you have a felony, can you get a real estate license? They said in Georgia, if you got a felony, it makes it super difficult for you to get a real estate license. And I only got one felony. Okay? And so it's like You just got to realize that this system is going to fuck you, chew you up, and spit you out just like you did. We're not recognizing that. These kids think that it's cool to go to jail. Oh, I just came home. I just came home. Well, you're an asshole. You're an idiot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're a straight fucking
right.
idiot. Because now your ass is going to stay fucking fucked up for the rest of your life. And then you're going to complain that the white man is holding you down. I've never screamed that a day in my life. From coming up from 18 years old, I have never had a job because I took my skill and I used it for what it was, okay? And I loved mm-hmm. the way I was living, so I tried to maintain that. And to this day, I'm 54 in a couple of days, never had a job. I had a job, but it was fun. I worked at the strip club. I was the DJ. I was getting money for free. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
getting money
right.
for free. And that's the only job I did in the past 20 years. And I did that until I got tired of it because I come from a world where I run my own thing. For me to come from a world that I run my own thing, to walk in a door and got to listen to this person and that person, they tell me, yo, Shan, go do that. Go put a girl on stage. Why ain't no girl on stage? I don't want to hear this shit, so I quit. Fuck y'all. I ain't got to listen to this bullshit. You know what I'm saying? So I just quit.
Right.
But I made listen, even with me not having a job or whatever, I like to make businesses and create stuff. So I go buy water pressure tanks, stuff like that, put my sons in business, and do other things. You know what I'm saying? Just because I know my sons have felonies. Y'all are never going to be on, you know what I'm saying? I taught them right, but they chose their own path. Now you got a felony, so you're never going to be able to live like the rest of the world, so you might as well do what your father is telling you and make your own entrepreneurial system. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, listen, man, we got about 3 minutes left in the show. I want to do something for you, the other half of this show, man. But before we do, I'll explain here in a bit. But before we do, I want to go ahead and give you a chance, man, to make any final thought, and then, man, make sure you give out your contact information, man, where the fans can reach you on social media, man. You got it. Let's get it.
I can definitely do that. Just make sure that you dig into your heart and into your chest and dig deep and become whatever the greatest that you can be. Anything less than the greatest is not going to settle. You have to be the greatest or don't be it at all. Be the best at everything that you do. Don't just be mediocre. Be the best at it. I don't care if you're sweeping floors. Be the best at the sweeping floors. Doesn't matter what you do. There's no shame in having a job. There's no shame in that, period. Just be the best at it. And my social media is MC Shan with the number one on Instagram. And you can hear me rant this crap that I'm ranting right here all day long, every day. You don't have to wait
Indeed.
For me to be on a show. You can, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. And I'll be following you, man, on Instagram. Man, no doubt, bro. We appreciate you as well. Now check this out, MC Shan. You mentioned your birthday coming up. Yeah, I know your birthday is September 6th. The other half of this great network, Valerie Denise Jones, her birthday is right before yours, September 5th. And mine is September 19th. So you're dealing with three Virgos right now. You know what I'm talking about. And shout out to So shout out to all the Virgos out there because it is Virgo season officially right now. It is Virgo season. So before I bring Valerie in, man, let me go ahead and give my spiel. I appreciate you coming through, man, sharing your knowledge, dropping jewels, just politicking with us, man. Like I say, this is like family talking anytime. We do what we do when we do it. I am
right.
CeeLo the Great. You know what I'm talking about. That's PH like phone, ELOTHEGREAT. Go to CeeLoTheGreat.com, CeeLo the Great on all social media sites. Or better yet, just go to the website. Again, CeeLoTheGreat.com, and then you can get it from there. Check it out, man. I enjoyed this interview, man. MC Champagne Hummus, always good to do that because, hey, it was always someone who put it down before you. And always remember that. Someone who opened that door that you're going through right now. So it's always good to pay homage and remember the ones who came before you. You know what I'm saying? Indeed.
Hey, can
always,
I say one more thing in the end?
Come on.
I
want to
say happy birthday to Dana Dane because his birthday is the same day as mine. Ha ha, got you first, buddy. Ha ha.
Hey, happy birthday to you, Dana Dane. Shouts out to you. And as always, man, get with it or quit it. Barbecue meal, do something, will something, want something, do something, don't. And if you got a problem with anything I have said today, you always got two choices, man. Either check it or respect
it.
All right? Done. Valerie.
Yeah, so MC Shan, oh my gosh, I want to play something for you right now. Listeners, you're listening to a trifecta. You got Virgo power in the house, and we are strong, we are alive, we are here, and we are here to stay. But MC Shan, I love you to life, and I want to play this to you, for you, and about you. Here we go.
Happy Don't say it, sounds wrong.
Thank you.
You. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I appreciate
Yay.
That. Now I'm going to get the mechanic in on my boat. I'm trying to get my boat
Happy
ready
birthday.
For Saturday.
All right. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day. Thank you so much for taking time out. I appreciate you so much. I will definitely hit you up with the links. We'll see you on Instagram. Thank you. Send a big shout out to Jeff Kwan over there doing the darn thing in the Bay Area, always looking out. Appreciate you so much. Appreciate our listeners, everybody who hung out with us, all the Virgos in the house, woo-hoo, kings and queens, we love you. We out of here, guys. Have a great rest of the day and an even better week. All right. ValerieDeniseJones.com. And if Philo the Great has nothing else to say, again, MC Shan, thank you so much. I appreciate you always. Philo, we good? Good in the hood?
Yeah, we good, man. Hey, yeah, happy birthday to all the Virgos, Nas, Luda, Dana Dane, MC Shan, myself, Valerie Denise Jones, everybody out there that's a Virgo. Let's get it!
All right, we out.
All right. Big exclusives. Presented by Valerie Denise Jones. Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern. Celebrities, music, motivation, gossip, and good stuff. All up in your ear. Call 929-477-1167 or visit ValerieDeniseJones.com.
Want to know more about big media? Tune in every Tuesday and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to subscribe to our channels.
Smoke weed every day.